Every summer, I'm struck anew by the fact that shorebirds are already starting to head south when the last songbirds are still reaching their northern breeding grounds. One of the richest places to observe shorebirds is Big Stone National Wildlife Refuge in western Minnesota near the South Dakota border. In June, the first southward-bound shorebirds are starting to turn up there, and by the second week in July, the numbers are rising. Careful counts of shorebirds are taken weekly or more at Big Stone, and on July 1st, a snowy plover was seen by two of the most reliable, careful birders in the state, Petter Svingen and Phil Chu. On July 3rd, they saw two of these adorable little birds. Snowy plovers look a bit like tiny killdeers, but their pale, pearly gray backs and tiny black markings on the sides of their neck, rather than the full-blown rings across their upper breast, give them a daintier, prettier effect. And this was only about the ninth time this species was ever seen in Minnesota. The inland snowy plover population breeds south of here, centered in Kansas and Oklahoma. So naturally, Minnesota birders started heading west to see them. And on July 8th, Bob Ekblad, Chris Benson, and Dedrick Benz hit the jackpot. They not only saw the two adults, but also with them, two tiny, downy baby plovers. This is the first breeding record of this lovely species in our state, and maybe the farthest north this species has ever been known to breed on the entire continent, though the Birds of North America snowy plover account says that its breeding range irregularly includes Saskatchewan. I don't know if actual evidence of breeding has been found up there, or if this is just based on some summer sightings of adults. I don't do a lot of chasing down of rarities. I feel guilty using natural resources for birding, and lately I don't have much time anyway. But the thought of baby snowy plovers was more than I could resist. I still didn't want to use more gas than necessary, and figure when two or more birders are headed somewhere, carpooling reduces their individual gas usage by half or more. So on July 11th, I headed out at 3 a.m. with my friend Don Keenholtz. It's a long drive, but we got to the refuge about 8:30, followed the precise directions given on the Minnesota Ornithologists Union's Rare Bird Alert, and started scanning a little rocky mud flat. Don spotted one of the adults sitting atop a rock, perhaps serving as family sentinel. That bird suddenly dropped down, and then I spotted, a bit farther down, an adult and the two chicks. They were ping-pong ball-sized, but fluffy and perched atop spindly, quick-running legs like tiny tribbles on stilts. We kept our distance. I got a few photos, which I'll post on Birder Blog today, but they weren't as high quality as I like. I couldn't risk closing in on the birds for better pictures in case the attending parent got skittish and flew off. It would certainly return, but it's at those moments when parents are stressed that ring-billed gulls and other predators check out a situation for easy meals, and there was no way I wanted these tiny little chicks to serve as brunch for anyone. Don and I never saw both adults at the same time. According to the Birds of North America account, females often desert their mates and broods about the time the chicks hatch. The females initiate new breeding attempts with other mates. So if another adult male is present at Big Stone right now, it's possible that there will soon be more adorable plover chicks to bring smiles to birders who make the journey to see them. I'll include directions on Birder Blog. Just make sure you bring a bottle of water when you hike in to see them, and make sure not to get too close. Whether or not you intend to make the trip, remember that the National Wildlife Refuges acquire habitat thanks to funding by duck stamps. 98 cents of every dollar spent on one of these stamps goes directly to habitat acquisition by National Wildlife Refuges. I haven't gotten around to buying the new one, which has just been available for a week or so, but I'm headed to the post office today to buy mine. Production of For the Birds is supported by KUMD and binoculars.com. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the Birds.